Okay, join me back in Matthew chapter 8, if you will, please. Matthew, the 8th chapter. And let's read the verses again that we'll be looking at this morning. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. And a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, "Lord, if you're willing," in the King James Version, I think he has the right translation from the Greek text. It says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will," quite literally in the text, "I will be cleansed." And the statement "be cleansed" is in the imperative, which means it must happen. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now yesterday we spent quite a bit of time in this church cleaning rooms. And some of the ladies were down there. They were wiping down walls and cleaning spots off the wall and cleaning those walls. And to my knowledge, there wasn't any room that was off limits, was there, to be cleansed. But how many rooms in your heart that you've said, "Lord, you can cleanse all the rest of them, but this one you can't have. You can't clean this room." Now, be honest with yourself. We're talking about cleansing. We're talking about something that goes with what we talked about last week, and that's conversion. You can't separate conversion from cleansing. You can't say, "Lord, I need a ticket to go to heaven. Save me so I can go to heaven, but don't cleanse me." That's totally out of bounds, isn't it? And when we talk about cleansing, we're not only talking about what we do or don't do. We're talking about how we think, what we desire, what we don't desire, what our great ambitions are, what we engage in, what's most important in our lives. And you've seen me put this in our bulletin most every Sunday. And I stole this from Vance Havner, by the way. Jesus never comes next. Now think about that for a while. He never comes next. This doesn't mean that he comes first. It means he's everything. Everything. Have we been cleansed to the point in our hearts that we can really say, "Jesus doesn't come next in my heart. Everything must be cleansed for him to be everything in my heart." Now that's the picture we get here. This leper come, he falls down before the Lord, and he says, "Lord, if you will, you can cleanse me." And Jesus said, "I will be cleansed." And he stretched out his hand and he touched him. And immediately, it says, he was cleansed. Now, all through Scripture, leprosy is a picture of sin and the depth of sin. When you go back to the Old Testament, you'll find pictures of this all the way through, that it's a picture of our sinfulness, our corruption before the Lord as sinners. And we're all sinners. We're just sinners saved by grace, but we're sinners. And you'll see some awful pictures of the Old Testament of sinfulness. For example, the prophet says, "From the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet, there's no soundness in us. We're like a bunch of runny, putrefied sores that's not been bound up." That's a picture of leprosy. And that's a picture of you in the presence of God, apart from the grace of God in Christ. Now, do you want to be cleansed from that? It's more than just walking an aisle. It's more than making some kind of decision. And we said last week, the first point of this is submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to even go a little further with this morning with the cleansing. So stay with me in this. Listen to the scriptures, what they say. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. In that text, both things take place, the conversion and the cleansing. If you say that I have been converted, if you say I have been regenerated, if you say I have been saved, if you say I am in the presence of the Lord, I'm acceptable to Him, I've been justified, then you've been cleansed. But this cleansing is a continuous thing. It goes on every day. And that's the reason the Apostle John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to do what? Cleanse us from all of our sins. That's speaking to believers, not unbelievers. And this is not once in a while thing. This is a daily process for you and me. We as Baptists got into the habit years ago, and I don't see so much of it now, and I praise the Lord we don't. Got into the habit of inviting people to come and rededicate their lives. And we did nothing more than take the Roman Catholic concept and make a confessional out of it. I come down and confess my sins and I'm all right. I can go out and do what I want to and go week next week and I go down and rededicate again. But for the believer, the true believer who has been cleansed, that's a daily thing for him. Every day he gets up or she gets up, it is a day that you are to rededicate yourself for that day to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day. Not just once in a while. To make you feel good. Every single day. Listen to this passage. I will cleanse them from all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. So you can't separate regeneration or salvation from cleansing. My heart must be cleansed or I haven't been regenerated. It's just a constant thing. Ladies, what would your house look like if you never cleaned it for a period of time? What does our heart look like when we don't go to the Lord for cleansing constantly? Now, this is tough for us, isn't it? This goes beyond what we generally want to think about. Well, I'm saved, I'm secured, I'm going to heaven when I die, and that's all that really matters. No, it isn't. There's some cleansing that takes place daily. Now, I want us to look at this leper. It's recorded in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So it must be important as this leper came to our Lord. I preached from this here before, but I preached it with a different way, different emphasis. It's a beautiful picture of how Christ cleanses those who come to Him in the right way. Then Jesus put out His hand and touched him, saying, I will, or I am willing to be cleansed. For you to be cleansed, or immediately he was cleansed, or I'm willing that you be clean. And he touched him. So we have an expression of God's love and grace and mercy expressed in an unusual way in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ in this passage. But I just want us to see how he goes about doing this. If our Lord cleansed a leper, who is the epitome of sinfulness, do you think he'd have any problem cleansing you? I don't think so. When any man, woman, boy, or girl comes to the Master for cleansing, they will not be turned away if they come in the right attitude, in the right manner. And I want to emphasize this all the way through this series of messages. It's not a matter of just walking an aisle. It's a matter of something that's taken place under the authority and by the authority of the Holy Spirit in your very being, in your life, your thinking process, everything about you, your heart. If they come in the right way, they'll be cleansed. Now here's my question. How and in what manner is the sinner to come to Christ? Now listen, I'm not only talking about conversion, I'm talking about believers as well. Because you and I are in a state of constantly coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're believers. Constant. Every day. The first thing I want you to see in this, he came to the right place. that's important for us. When you find yourself a sinner, unsaved, you want redemption, you got to go to the right place. When you find yourself as a believer and you see the sinfulness in your heart, you see the sinfulness in your mind and your attitude and your spirit, everything about you, you got to come to the right place if you're going to be cleansed. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ. When our Lord had confronted the multitude with some demands and commitments, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with Him in John 6:64. They didn't like what He said. And by the way, that text in John 6:64 is what was the result of our Lord preaching His sovereignty, by the way. And what did the disciples say when our Lord turned to them and said, "Will you also go away?" And Peter answering for all of them, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of cleansing. You have the words of regeneration. You have the words of salvation. Where else are we going to go?" You say, "Well, that's common language. That's just common thing. Most people know that." No, they don't. The Jews were going to ceremony. They were going to ritual. They were going to pedigree. "Oh, we're Abraham's son." The Greeks were seeking after superior philosophical knowledge and going to multiple gods. America is going to government and science and self-ability and power and possessions and pleasures. This is America's gods. Just remember this. If you're not coming to Jesus in the right manner, you're going to something or someone else for your cleansing and for your salvation. Right? I'm trusting in something. And you hear these people say, and this is what really gets to me, you'll hear people say, and you pick this up on television a lot, you know, "Well, I'm a spiritual person." What does that mean? I'm a spiritual person. "Well, where do you go to church?" "Well, I don't go to church, but I'm a spiritual person." That's an oxymoron. That's nonsense. What are you trusting in? Who are you looking to? What is your security? Where is your place of cleansing? Where do you find relief from your guilt for your sins? What is it you're relying on? What's your hope in? What's your hope beyond this life? Something you're doing, or something you've done, or something you're going to do? Or is it in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ exclusively? There's no room for vacillation here. It's either Him or it's nothing. It's either Him or your own gods. And most of the time, you are your own god, because you're trying to satisfy self. The point I'm trying to make is that every person is going to something or somebody rather than coming to the right place for their salvation and their cleansing. Where did you go? Where are you going for your cleansing? I'm trying to be as simple as I can this morning, notice, because I think it's extremely important. And while we're in this subject of talking about cleansing, now I'm going to get a little mean, okay? Most today who profess Christianity are spiritually anorexic. They're starving to death spiritually. What I mean by that, just take this thought home with you and do what you want to with it. How many meals on the average do you eat a week to preserve this body? 21 minimum, right? And that's this body that's going to rot in the grave if you're a child of God, and you're going to have a new body, because this one ain't going to make it. How many meals spiritually do you eat a week for your eternal body? See why I say we're spiritually anorexic? We're starving. Because we think for some reason if we come to church on Sunday morning and I give my contribution of time to the Lord, that's it. That's all I need. Folks, whatever you think or whatever you argue, that won't get it. Not only do you have to spend time every day of your life with the Lord, every day, in prayer, meditation, and study, you're going to have to constantly feast on Him if you're going to grow. If you're going to be cleansed, that's how it's done. Constantly communicating with Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Every day. And as much as we can, when we meet together as a body of Christ where we are supposed to encourage one another and build one another up, that's important too. We're starving to death spiritually. He came to the right place. Now watch this second one. He came in the right posture. How do you go before the Lord? He came in the posture of worship. Mark tells us, now the leper came to Him, imploring Him, kneeling down to Him, and saying to Him, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Luke says that the man came, the leper came, he saw Jesus, and he fell on his face before Him, imploring Him. And here in our text it says that he came and worshiped Him, fell on his face. So when you put all of these together, you see a posture. He fell on his face. He worshiped Him. He knelt before Him. Why did he come that way? Because it was in an attitude of worship and surrender and submission, recognizing who He is and what He is. If you come any other way, He's not going to hear you. He's not going to do anything for you. He came to the right place. He came in the right posture. Now watch this one. He came with the right plea. He acknowledged. What was the first words out of His mouth? Lord. What's that mean? What's the word Lord mean? That means He is God. That means He is absolute sovereign. He's sovereign over your eternity-bound soul. Do you know who decides who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved? Not you. He does. Now, I know we don't like that. But I'm telling you that this Bible teaches that if you're going to be saved, you're shut up to the mercy of God. And that means He came pleading for mercy, making no demands on the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't come and say, Lord, I think I'm going to let you heal me. No, no. He come in the right posture, in the right attitude. Lord, if you will. You don't have to. I was preaching from this text many years ago. And it was in a Baptist gathering, associate state meeting. And Tommy was sitting beside a couple of elderly ladies. And I got to this point of talking about, He doesn't have to save you. And she overheard one of them say to the other, well, that's what it says. Well, that's right. That's what it says. If you will. No demands. No conditions. Lord, I've done this, and so you ought to do this. No merit. I don't have anything. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to Thy cross I cling. Nothing except God's mercy. And that's the only thing you can plead. Isn't it? Were you looking for the Lord when He struck you down by His Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. He came and started working in your heart through someone's witness or through the reading of Scripture or through the proclamation of Scripture in some fashion, and it hit your heart and you became convinced that you were a sinner and that you were under the judgment of God. And when you found that out, you wanted mercy because you knew you didn't have anything to offer God. Nothing. I think I've said this to you before. I heard a preacher say one time, if you want God to save you, you're going to have to hem him up in a corner. Well, you better get you a big corner. You don't hem God up to do anything. You bow to him for who he is and what he is. This man was a leper and needed cleansing, healing. He did not come making demands or trying to obligate the Savior. He did not come saying, I have decided I'm going to let you heal me. That kind of an attitude is an insult to the sovereign grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ. That's an insult. I don't know where we've gotten the idea that somehow or another, because we made some flimsy, decided decision in our life, we're okay, we're going to go to heaven when we die. Folks, there's a thing called regeneration in Scripture. There's this thing called salvation in Scripture. There's this thing called conversion in Scripture. And when that happens, it changes your whole attitude about everything, about you and this world as well. And you begin to weep over the things you used to rejoice about. And you rejoice about the things you used to ignore. Everything changes. And your attitude toward the Lord totally changes. And He becomes your life. Everything you do is in light of Him. Everything you think is in light of Him. Now listen to me. Even everything you read is in light of Him. It's all related to Him. You want to worship Him. You want to love Him. You want to serve Him. You want to honor Him. You want to proclaim Him. That's your life now. And you're looking for ways to do that. Number three, he came with the right persuasion. He came in total confidence, full of faith, that Christ could and would cleanse him. You can make me clean, he said. You have the ability. That little word can comes from the word from which we get the word dynamite. It means ability. It means the power. You have the power to cleanse me. You have everything that's necessary to cleanse me. If you will, you can cleanse me. You see how he came? But he came believing totally in the person and work of Christ. He believed totally that Christ had everything that was needed to give him the cleansing from his disease and make him acceptable before a holy God. He believed that. And he came. Now watch this. When Christ reached out and touched him, you couldn't touch a leper in those days. That was not only not practical, but it was against the law. And you can see this crowd of people. Verse 1 says there was a crowd of people with him. And here came a leper. Can you imagine the reaction of that crowd? You can almost see that, can't you? Here he comes, and this crowd just opens up. They didn't want to touch him. But you know what? Jesus touched him. Both of them broke the bounds of law and tradition. You can just see. Did you see what he did? He touched that leper. Yeah. Do you know what? You think that bothered that leper, what people thought about him when he came to our Lord? Not a thought. Not a thought. He couldn't care less about the crowd and what they thought. He wanted to get to him because he believed that he could and he would heal him. And he probably spent everything he had, like the woman with the issue of blood, trying to get healing and found none. But he knew Christ could heal him. He knew he had the answer for him. And he came. And he found cleansing. He saw the person of Christ in His glory and His beauty. He saw the power of Christ. and he saw the passion of Christ. And my friend, when you see that, you'll be convinced too that he can cure you. See him in all of his glory. I can almost see that as he came up to our Lord and began to plead for mercy. You can almost see the countenance on our Lord's face with that love and that kindness and that mercy expressed even in his face as he reached out and touched him. He knew he had the power. And he knew he had a desire to cleanse that leper. The passion of Christ. You know the only thing that's keeping you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your own stubborn will. And you know what? He has to break that for you to be saved. The psalmist says, my people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Is that what it says? You know when you were willing to come to Christ? When he exercised his power on you by the Holy Spirit conviction and brought you into submission to his will, his desire. And you came and you bowed before him. When any man, woman, boy, or girl comes to the Master that way, I promise you, he'll touch you. He'll reach out to his Spirit and touch you. The leper found cleansing. The woman with the issue of blood found cleansing. The publican in the temple found cleansing. Blind Bartimaeus standing beside the roadside begging. You can just almost see him over there. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. He just kept saying it. The disciples went to him. Hush. The master don't want to thank you. He don't want to talk to you. He's busy. One prayer from a sinner. Have mercy on me. Stop God in his tracks. Jesus stood still, the scripture says, when he heard that plea for mercy. His plea for mercy stopped God right there. And Jesus said, bring him to me. And they brought him. And he said to him, what you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I might see. That I might see. You ever made that prayer? Lord, I want to see. I want to understand. I really want to understand who you are and what I am. You come that way, you'll get your sight, I promise you. And it'll overwhelm you with His glory. The thief on the cross, he found his cleansing. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. How did he know the Lord had a kingdom? The Lord was dying beside of him. He saw a future kingdom. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into it. He had some sight, didn't he? The Lord had given him some sight that he could see. One crying for mercy and one on the other side cursing as they went out into eternity. One found what he needed. The other was condemned. Can you come with your uncleanliness, plead for mercy? Can you come with no hope except in him? Can you come with confidence that he has the power and the authority to cleanse you and make you acceptable in his sight? Lord, I'm full of sin. Make me clean. Lord, I have a terrible attitude. Make me clean. Lord, I have a terrible temper. Cleanse me. Lord, I have deep-rooted resentment and jealousy or bitterness or pride or whatever it may be. Lord, cleanse me. Make me clean. No person has ever come like that's been turned away. I can promise you that. Come with your rags of self-righteousness. Be cleansed. Come with all your spiritual ailments and be cleansed. He has the power. He has the authority. And he has the will when you come that way to cleanse you. That's a promise. Is it not amazing that you can exchange your old tattered garments, sin-stained garments, for a robe of righteousness by simply submitting and surrendering and coming in the right attitude? We used to sing a song at night and just pretend it's nighttime now. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. I've joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from glory, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Can you sing that? Have you given Him your old tattered garments? And He's robed you in His righteousness and cleansed you from your sins and made you a trophy of His grace in the presence of God Almighty. That's what He invites you to do. Come like this leper. In your heart, falling at His feet. Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. Lord, if You will, You can save my soul. Lord, if You will, You can make me whole. Lord, if You will, You can make me a child of the King. Father, thank You for these kinds of instructions and encouragements that You give us in Your Word that enables us to search our hearts and make sure. As Paul says, make our calling and election sure. That we're trusting in the person and work of Christ, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, as we partake of this Lord's table, make this fresh in our minds that it is because of His death, His burial, His resurrection, His shed blood, His holiness, His righteousness that makes us holy. And has given us the hope of glory. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.